are.
See, let me tell you this way. See, sometimes even the husband, when he goes to home, yeah. he shouldn't reveal his problems
at work.
He shouldn't bring them to home. And then the wife, when she's working outside, she shouldn't come to home with her problems. When you have a problem with your mother and you're going to your own home that you're living with your husband and your children, you shouldn't take your personal problems into your home. Because as human beings, we have responsibility toward other yeah. people, toward every single person. If I treat my mother bad because I had a fight with my friend, then this is bad. This is so wrong.
Yeah.
If I do the other way, I have a problem at home, then I treat other people at job, at school, at university, whatever. I treat them bad, then this is my bad. I shouldn't do it. Because we have to consider that as a human being, we have different responsibilities. And accordingly, we have to act with people.
Well, let me ask something. Pretending doesn't mean that you cannot speak about that or that problem with, for example, your husband and then your wife or something. I mean, you shouldn't let this pretending endure your soul or something.
Yeah.
You have to have a balance about pretending
exactly.
and not nagging and, you know, share your problems with other people. Mm-hmm. And have their advice.
Yeah. What do you say, sister?
That's cool. Like, you know, not to be a nagging personality, not to be that telling over and over things again and again. You know, no solution is going to be coming out of it. So you have to act sometimes to be pretending. But where does it go wrong, Sister Asma? Like, we have been so far, I think we have been talking about the good yeah. parts of the story. But it goes wrong. It comes, rather, when it comes at, sometimes it comes at a point when people misunderstand you as a, maybe as a good person. And you don't want that thing to be lost. You don't want that thing to be faded away. So you pretend, yes, 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 this good thing was
yeah.
done by me. Yes, this good deed was done by me. Yes, this good task was, yes, I am that good person. But you're not actually. You have to be actually very straightforward. If someone misunderstood you as something like you did a kind favor to someone and you were not the person behind it, tell it. It maybe it will increase your respect. The person will find that you're more honest. So I think pretending does not always come in a positive way. It has negative impacts as well.
Of course, yeah. Mostly, generally, it is negative. But sometimes
yeah.
it could come in some positive ways as
now
well.
Now we talked about.
Now, let's go for a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
In here, we were discussing pretending. We actually went through so much of facts, reasons, and is there any solution for it?
Balance is the main solution here, you know. You shouldn't have this vibe that I'm pretending, and because the other person will be suffering from this kind of pretending that you have. You have to avoid this. If you are at a situation that you have to pretend, and pretending is the good part of the situation, you have to know how to pretend. And I think when you know how to pretend, you know when you should pretend, and this is the solution.
Yeah, so have a balance. One of the
yeah,
solutions.
Exactly.
Yeah, have a balance. And I think we should have that balance in this skill only in terms of when the goal is a positive goal, when I don't want other people to be sad, when I don't want...
Exactly.
But it should not be like I don't have to be practicing this skill when my goal is negative, when I want to be a hypocritic personality, when I want to show people who I am not actually... So that time I definitely don't have to practice this skill because the hypocrites are the most hated people in the way of Prophet, peace be upon him, in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt, and obviously in
you
the eyes of Allah.
You are mentioning a very important point. The hypocrite people are not loved, and you know they cause too much of inflictions to other people.
I asked her in the beginning, if you pretend, where do you pretend? She said, I pretend to be happy when I'm sad because I don't want the other people. people to be sad.
Exactly, yeah. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. We actually talked about pretending. We said that there are too much of reasons for pretending. Some people need to attract the attention of others. Some people want to get a job. They pretend to be so punctual. They pretend to be so responsible, but they are not. We also talked about the positive sort of pretending. Sometimes I don't feel good, but I have guests. I have too much of people around me, so I shouldn't bring them into my terrible. Therefore, I wear a mask, which is not actually my true face, but then I do it to save others. There must be a just reason for it. And then we talked about the solutions. We have to keep the balance. We have to focus on the very fact that pretending is different from being hypocrite. And actually, if you go too extreme in pretending, then you would turn into a hypocrite person, which is going to cause too much of problems and difficulties for other people. And then Allah is not going to be satisfied with us. So there's no problem to be yourself.
And sometimes when you want to achieve something through pretending, you can achieve that being honest.
Exactly. That's very true. And trust me, if you are going to achieve something by too much of duplicacy or too much of hypocrisy, then you're not going to have it forever. You're going to lose it one day or another. It's not going to last, and you are not going to get the bliss out of it. So that's it. Thank you for staying with us. I hope you enjoyed it. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمار عزك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي ما رايز again لتصي daylightك once again.
In the limelight.
Experts say the United States remains the number one arms exporting nation on the planet. This country actually likes tension in the world because it feeds on the tension by stoking tension between countries and regions around the world and selling arms to the conflicting sides. The U.S. regime fills the pockets of military-industrial complex. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned, please. Truthout had an eye on this issue, writing, "Here's a seldom commented upon reality of this century and this moment. The United States remains the number one arms exporting nation on the planet. Between 2017 and 2021, it grabbed 39% of the total global weapons market, and there is nothing new about that. It has, in fact, been the top arms dealer in every year, but one for the past three decades. And it's a remarkably lucrative business, earning American weapons makers tens of billions of dollars annually. It would be one thing if it were simply a matter of money raked in by the industrial half of the military-industrial complex. Unfortunately, in these years, U.S.-supplied weaponry has also fueled conflicts, enabled human rights violations, helped destabilize not just individual countries but whole regions, and made it significantly easier for repressive regimes to commit war crimes." At first glance, it appeared that Joe Biden, on entering the White House, might take a different approach to arms sales. On the campaign trail in 2020, he had, for instance, labeled Saudi Arabia a pariah state and implied that the unbridled flow of U.S. weaponry to that kingdom would be reduced, if not terminated. He also bluntly assured voters that this country wouldn't check its values at the door to sell arms. Initially, Biden paused arms deals to that country and even suspended one bomb sale. Unfortunately, within 8 months of his taking office, sales to Saudi regime had resumed. In addition, the Biden team has offered arms to a number of other repressive countries, from Egypt to Nigeria and Philippines. Such sales contrast strikingly with the president's mantra of supporting democracies over autocracies, as well as his reasonable impulse to supply weapons to Ukraine. There are numerous examples, both historically and in the present moment, of how this country's arms sales have done more harm than good. But for now, let's just highlight four of them, including Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Nigeria, and the Philippines. Saudi Arabia has spearheaded a horrifying and disastrous 7.5-year-long intervention in Yemen that has killed thousands of people through indiscriminate airstrikes on civilian targets, ranging from hospitals, water treatment plants and factories to marketplaces, weddings and even a funeral. In all, that conflict has caused an estimated nearly 400,000 deaths, in large part due to a Saudi-run air and sea blockade that has impeded importing food, medical supplies and fuel. The overwhelming presence of U.S.-supplied aircraft, bombs, missiles, and other weaponry in that military campaign has led many Yemenis to view it as an American war on their country, sparing resentment and potentially damaging future relations throughout the region. In Yemen, it could help stop the killing tomorrow simply by cutting off arms, spare parts, and help in the maintenance of weapon systems. Such pressure would push the Saudi regime to definitively end its destructive airstrikes and its devastating blockade of that country, while potentially encouraging the launching of good faith negotiations to end the war in Yemen. When it comes to Egypt, the Biden administration has offered more than $6 billion in weaponry so far, including missiles, helicopters, and transport planes. All of that is going to the regime of Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, who is widely regarded as the most repressive leader in that country's history. The al-Sisi government has gunned down demonstrators in the street, locked up thousands of political prisoners, and run a scorched-earth counterinsurgency campaign in the northern Sinai Desert that has killed innocent civilians and driven thousands of people from their homes. Last April, the U.S. regime offered attack helicopters worth millions to Nigeria, marking the latest stage in the warming of relations between the two countries that began early in the Trump years. That was $997 million. The Nigerian military, however, has committed torture on a massive scale while targeting thousands of civilians in an ongoing campaign against the terrorist group Boko Haram and its local offshoots. As Human Rights Watch has reported, there is a reasonable basis to believe that Nigerian security forces have committed crimes against humanity. Amnesty International reported that 10,000 civilians died between 2011 and 2020 from extreme neglect in prisons run by Nigeria's military. And far from reducing terrorism, such conduct has further destabilized significant parts of the country, stoking opposition to the government and making it easier for terrorist groups to recruit and operate. Earlier this month, the security situation in Nigeria had deteriorated so badly that Biden administration ordered the family members of U.S. diplomats to leave Abuja, the capital, due to a heightened risk of terrorist attack. The website of Truth Out noted, while the humanitarian consequences of U.S. arms sales may be devastating, if you happen to be a major weapons maker like Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, or General Dynamics, the economic benefits are enormous. Weapon systems built by those four companies alone have figured in more than half of the $100 billion-plus dollars in major arms offers made since President Biden took office. While those firms prefer to pose as passive beneficiaries of carefully considered government policies, they continue to work overtime to loosen restrictions on weapons exports and expand the number of countries eligible for such equipment and training. To that end, those four giant firms alone routinely donate millions of dollars to key members of Congress while employing 300 lobbyists, many of them drawn from the ranks of the Pentagon, Congress, and the National Security Council. Once on board, those retired generals, admirals, and other officials use their government contacts and inside knowledge of the arms sales process to influence government policies and practices. A particularly egregious and visible example of this was Raytheon's effort to pressure Congress and the Trump administration to approve a sale of precision-guided munitions to the Saudis. A former Raytheon lobbyist, Charles Faulkner, worked inside the State Department to keep the Saudi arm pipeline open despite that country's bombing of civilian targets in Yemen, and then Raytheon's former CEO, Thomas Kennedy, even went so far as to directly lobby Senate Foreign Relations Chairman Senator Rob Menendez over Saudi arms sales. He was rebuffed. But the most spectacular lobbyist for the Saudi was, of course, Trump, who justified continuing arms sales to Riyadh after the regime's 2018 murder of U.S. resident, Saudi journalist, and Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi this way. $110 billion will be spent on the purchase of military equipment from Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and many other great U.S. defense contractors. If we foolishly cancel these contracts, Russia and China would be enormous beneficiaries and very happy to acquire all this newfound business. It would be a wonderful gift to them directly from the United States, he said. In fact, neither Russia nor China would be able to replace the U.S. as Saudi Arabia's primary arms supplier anytime soon. The kingdom is so reliant on American equipment that it might take a decade or more for it to rebuild its military around weapons supplied by another nation. In reality, expensive as American arms sales to the Saudi are, that $110 billion figure was a typical case of Trumpian exaggeration. Actual sales during his term were less than one-third of that, and jobs tied to those sales in the U.S. were similarly far less than President Trump claimed. The figure he liked to throw around, 500,000, was at least 12 times the actual one. Still, the damage done by the weaponry his administration rammed through Congress for the Saudis has been incalculable and can't be measured by the dollar value of any particular sale. The Raytheon lobbying campaign was extraordinary primarily because its details became public knowledge, but count on one thing. Similar efforts by other military-industrial corporations surely take place behind closed doors on a regular basis. One precondition for reducing dangerous arms deals would have to be reducing the political power of the major weapons-producing companies. Also, responsible statecraft wrote, U.S. military forces have been engaged in unauthorized hostilities in many more countries than the Pentagon has disclosed to Congress, let alone the public. According to a major new report released late last week by New York University School of Law's Brennan Center for Justice, Afghanistan, Iraq, maybe Libya. If you ask the average American where the United States has been at war in the past two decades, you would likely get this short list. According to the report, Secret War, how the U.S. uses partnerships and proxy forces to wage war under the radar. But this list is wrong, off by at least 17 countries in which the United States has engaged in armed conflict through ground forces, proxy forces, or airstrikes. The report's author Catherine Yon Ebright wrote in the introduction, this proliferation of secret war is a relatively recent phenomenon, and it is undemocratic and very dangerous. The conduct of undisclosed hostilities in unreported countries contravenes our constitutional design. It invites military escalation that is unforeseeable to the public, to Congress, and even to the diplomats charged with managing U.S. foreign relations.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Mandegari. Stay tuned.
در مورد امام حسین علیه الصلاه و السلام میگه این حسین کیست که عالم همه دیوانه اوست.
Regarding Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we read in a beautiful poem, who is Hussein who alone enchanted all the people in the world? Who is Hussein who alone attracts the hearts of all freedom seekers across the world? In another poem, we read, Ali is the true successor of Prophet Muhammad, and this was Fatima who alone supported it. We all know that only Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra protected the right of imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam after the demise of Prophet Muhammad.
پس این که میگن با یه گل بهار نمیشه اشتباه.
Therefore, the Prophet V says, a single flower doesn't bring spring is, in my opinion, wrong. Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra showed to the world that even a single person can defend true Islam. Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra was alone. However, she stood against the oppression singly and acted based on the Quran, which invites the people to rise up for Allah's sake. In better words, she defended the concept of Walaya all alone when alive. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Mandegari. To find out more about our program on Call of Islam page, IRIB English Radio, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
child of the border.
Part 1.
Here is my homeland, which in the not-too-distant past was populated by caring, welcoming, and hard-working people. An era when there was neither a weapon nor opium, neither insecurity nor massacre. We used to know the true way of life. The Soviets came to make Afghanistan look like them, but all to no avail. They took over Afghanistan. A 10-year war broke out. The United States came to overthrow the Soviet Union in Afghanistan with American weapons and Afghan lives.
That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day because your fight will prevail and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again because your cause is right and God is on your side.
...2 million victims, 4 million wounded, and over 5 million refugees were the result of a decade-long war between the two superpowers in Afghanistan. Defeated, the Soviet Union had to leave. Now, the Afghans spoke only the language of war and conflict. Destruction and killing continued for another 4 years, and then came the Taliban and its aftermath. The United States invaded and occupied Afghanistan in the name of fighting terrorism. It was supposed to bring democracy, freedom, and prosperity for the people, but it turned out to bring only drones, bombing, and suicide. Again, innocent children and women were victims of the aggression. 20 years on, the Americans fled and traded Afghanistan with those they called terrorists. Millions of Afghan refugees have entered Iran legally or illegally over the past 40 years. Some of them were settled in centers called Mehman Shahr or Guest City. Some others found refuge in other parts of the country. This is the guest city of Torbat Ajam. It is located in Iran near the Afghan border. Initially, all asylum seekers who came to the area were housed in tents. Marzia was born in one such tent. Later on, buildings replaced tents, and the guest city bloomed. Workshops, schools, clinics, banks, and shops were set up to provide better services. A council of Afghans themselves run the place. This is also called the Little Afghanistan. Marzia grew up with the guest city. Ghulam Habib was hardly 16 when he came to Iran to work. He found a job in a foundry with a minimum wage. In Afghanistan, he had only learned to read and write, but he continued his studies inside Iran. He took a liking to karate and played sports alongside his work to open his own sports club afterwards. Amir Ali's parents had taken refuge in Iran from Afghanistan. He was born in Iran. Amir Ali loved school and got into university to study medicine and then took an orthopedic specialist course. Dr. Amir Karimi also successfully completed a subspecialty in knee surgery. Hugging me wholeheartedly. A child born in the border tents of the Iranian Red Crescent. I am the child of the border. My name is Najiba. I studied psychology, but my main interest in filmmaking led me to study cinema directing at the Iranian Youth Cinema Society. My Iranian friends encouraged and helped me to make films. Maybe if it weren't for their support, I would have given up filmmaking. I am concerned with the troubles of Afghan refugees. I go to them to document their life story. Alijan lost his mother in Afghanistan when he was only 9. He came to Iran with his father, brothers, and sister. He finished elementary school before dropping out and going to work. In the meantime, an Iranian teenager named Mohammed worked alongside Alijan. For years, they both worked in a sewing workshop. They were far apart and did not know each other. Alijan Jafari and Mohammad Kasai met many years later. They made a decision that changed the course of their lives and that of their colleagues. Mr. Murtaza Afzali's family went through a terrible patch after his father was killed. At the age of 18, he came to Iran alone to work and support his family. Mr. Afzali liked to study and have a university degree, but a refugee is often doomed to a certain few choices given their conditions. Following years of hard work and improved living conditions, and after finding a small workshop, he decided to quit his job and pursue this new profession without knowing much about it. In the 40 years that Afghans have sought refuge in Iran, the Iranian people have experienced the worst downturn in history. Saddam's invasion of Iran, which lasted 8 years, and the most difficult of all, the cruel sanctions imposed by the United States on the Iranian people, dubbed by many as the most severe sanctions in the history of any nation. Afghans are not the first migrants to flock to Iran. During World War II, a torrent of 116,000 Polish refugees rushed to the Persian territory. Despite its neutrality in the war, Iran was occupied by the Soviet Union and Britain, which led to a severe famine for the Iranian people. Nevertheless, they welcomed the hunger and disease-stricken asylum seekers from Poland. When Iraq invaded Iran, Saddam had shelled his country's Kurdish region with chemical bombs, massacring thousands of fellow Iraqis. The survivors of the attacks took refuge in Iran. As usual, the Iranians welcomed them with open arms. Every time the United States invaded Iraq, thousands of Iraqis took shelter in Iran. Marzia's family stayed in the guest city and built their own Afghanistan here. The security and hospitality services in the guest city led to the formation of new families and an upturn in its population. More than 3.5 million Afghan refugees are living in Iran, legally or illegally. All legal asylum seekers benefit from public health insurance. Supporting the Iranian nation football team is an integral part of the Ahmadi family's life. Most asylum seekers, to whatever country they go to, start life from scratch. Their efforts must be many times more than any ordinary citizen in order to achieve their desired goals. Go to a man who has achieved what he loved. His expertise has led him to start and expand this family business. Mr. Alavi is an Afghan refugee. When he came to Iran 33 years ago, he started working in a box-making workshop. He recollects the vicissitudes of living in Iran, but does admit that there has been more help and kindness for him to get to where he is today.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد أعوذك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. Here again, we have some of the students of Sevier International School. And I want to say hello and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers. How are you? Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Fine, inshallah. Okay, great. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alaykum assalam. Alhamdulillah. How are you, sir?
Okay, that's great. Alhamdulillah. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Everyone is here fine. And we hope, inshallah, our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRIB English Radio, I hope, inshallah, you are well and fine. So, Ali Nasir, what do you think? Today, inshallah, we have to work on Ayah 159 of Surah Al-Baqarah, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Ayah 159 of Surah Al-Baqarah on page 24 of Quran Al-Kareem. Brothers and sisters, make sure you have your Quran with you. Before we start, let's everyone listen to the recitation of this Aya.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina yaktumuna ma anzalna minal bayyinati wal huda min ba'di ma bayyanahu lin-nas fil kitab. أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون.
So, I will recite Hassan, you and your friends. Well, inshallah, listen and practice. All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ready, everyone?
Yes, sir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس
إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس
في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله
من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب
أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. Allah Almighty bless you inshallah. إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى. Indeed, those who conceal, those who hide what we have sent down of manifest proofs and guidance, okay? من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب, after we have clarified it in the book for mankind. أولئك يلعنهم الله. Those who do this, those who conceal these things, those who do not care about these things, أولئك, they shall be cursed. يلعنهم الله. Allah Almighty will be will curse them. Okay, will send. We say لعنت. Okay. And ويلعنهم اللاعنون. And they will be cursed by the cursors. Okay. All. So. The main point in this ayah is that in the next coming ayahs, okay, verses, like in verse 161, okay, Allah Almighty will say this, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنظَرُونَ. So they will have عذاب, okay, in the next coming ayahs, Allah Almighty will say, explained it very clearly, okay? So, in this ayah, Allah Almighty says, those who conceal what we have sent down from Bayyina, from Huda, Hidayat, guidance, okay? If they conceal this, okay, Allah Almighty will curse them. Now, Allah Almighty curse them, of course, they are in hellfire, okay? Why? Because everything is clear, come on. 124,000 prophets, imams, these books, okay, evidences, they are clear. So if you know them and you still do not believe, okay, it's you do not believe because of, not because of really there is a reason that you do not believe, okay? Yes? You do not believe because of the wealth of the dunya, because For example, if you become a Muslim, if you become a mu'min, yeah, materialistic you are, okay? If you become, for example, a mu'min, okay? So you can't be a materialistic person. You can't, for example, no, religion doesn't say this. You can be a mu'min, you can be so wealthy. You can be a mu'min, you can have a lot of money. Yes? You can be a mu'min, you can have a lot of buildings. There is nothing wrong with this. Only you should have them in a legal way. People say that if we pray, oh, we don't have much time to pray. Come on. In the middle, for example, in midday, okay? Oh, for example, a customer comes to you, for example, in your shop, okay? So it's prayer time. Adhan is being announced, okay? You hear Adhan. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Go to prayer. Stop selling and buying, okay? So, but if you do say, come on, it's not a good time. Prayer, I have customer. If I do not sell him something, I can't get money. So, yeah, if you do so because of wealth, because of money, because of dunya, if you sell your akhirah for dunya, you have done something bad. And you have lost. You are among the losers. Okay? Allah Almighty cursed these kind of people. They do not care about akhirah. So they do not care about these things. So, وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Whoever can curse, will curse them. Because literally, okay, akhirah is more important than dunya. It doesn't mean that you should not care about dunya. Care about both of them, okay? But in a way, not to lose your akhirah for dunya. Got it? قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Guys, the important tajweed rules are here that inshallah we'll mention, but I have to tell you for more explanation about the tafsir interpretation. Actually, we had a short one and it's not enough. So really, I recommend you to refer to the tafsir book, the hadith book, okay, for the interpretations. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا. Wherever we have an important rule, I will mention. ما أنزلنا. Okay, we have had our classes for a long time, so we do not pay attention to those little and easy ones. Okay, for example, الذين. Of course, you should be able to pronounce it correctly. The letter ذال. Yes, الذين. So it was in the very first sessions we mentioned.
Yes.
يكتمون ما أنزلنا. نون ساكين. Yes. إخفى. Here we have زاء إخفاء. Hide the sound of noon when you have za. Za, dal, dhal, seen, sheen, saad, ta, ta, ta. Those rest of the letters. Not from those three first groups, okay? The group of yarmulun letters, ba, the group of izhar letters, okay? The rest of the letters, you have to apply the rule ikhfa. Ma anzalna. Right? Hide the sound. How about ma? There is a mad. How about that mad? Is that wajib or jais?
Jais.
Why? Because?
Because the mad letter.
For Hamzatul Wasl is not in the same word with mad letter. Mad letter is Hamzatul Qat. Mad letter is ma, that alif. Hamza is not in the same word. It's in another word. So they are in two separate words. It will be munfasil, two separate words. And the mad is not wajib. It is?
جائز.
ما أنزلنا. You can say ما أنزلنا. You can prolong both ways, no problem. من البينات والهدى من هدى ألف مقصورة. Okay.
Yes.
It's not هدي هدي هدى
هدى.
من بعد نون ساكن plus با group of إقلاب.
Okay.
Yes. The rule iqlab, changing will be applied. Yes. Here. How changing?
You will change noon to meme.
Ah, a meme sound. Okay, a hidden meme sound. Yeah. Like your mouth, your lips should not touch
each other.
Lip space should be there, okay?
Yes.
Like you can blow some air out. Look, noon is changing to a meme sound. Min, min. But do not pronounce mim completely because lips will touch. There is a little space if you see. Right? مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ. The rule of nun mushaddad, mim mushaddad, you know, okay? You have to produce a nasal sound and also for two counts.
Yes.
Prolong them. فِي الْكِتَابِ. The word la, if you see on the top of kitab, what does it say?
Don't stop.
Don't stop, okay? Have to read, continue, because it changes the meaning. So, فِي الْكِتَابِ. أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ. Yal'anuhumullahu. Allah is pronounced heavily. Why? Because Dhamma sound is before. If there is a kasra, you pronounce it lightly, yes? Bismillah. Wa yal'anuhumulla'inun. Listen up, everyone. Let's listen again to the recitation of this ayah, okay? And we'll finish.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina yaktumuna ma anzalna minal bayyinati wal huda min ba'di ma bayyannahu lin-nasi fil kitab. أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us in this session. Inshallah, we really recommend you stay with us in the coming sessions as well. So, brothers, any question?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Wish you good luck, inshallah. Stay safe. Take care, okay? We'll see you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International Schools Network for cooperations. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The French satellite operator Eutelsat suspends its services to Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting days after it took Press TV off the air. Iran hits out of the Ukrainian president's remarks against